Okay, so we've heard from an identity management perspective from an institution, and we've heard from a service provider's perspective. In the middleware world, to bring these two people together, you do need a bit of gluing, and the UK Access Management Federation will be offering some of that gluing within the UK. We call this session a voyage. We're just about to launch the UK Access Management Federation. It'll be going live on the 30th of November 2006. And as I've said that here, it's building on a successful pilot federation which has been running in the UK since March 2004, called SDSS. There's been a lot of work in the UK before this. We've been running programmes since 2003, assessing next-generation access management technologies, testing them within the UK environment, and looking at the development sphere and making sure this is right for the UK. We're talking about nearly £6 million worth of funding over the last couple of years has gone into JISC deciding that federated access management is the right solution for the UK, and it works for the UK, and we're happy to launch it as a live service. As John mentioned earlier, we don't want to go into too much detail about the technology here, but just to briefly summarise what a federation actually does. It's the independent body which manages the trust between John and Ross, if you like, between the identity provider and between the service provider. It also does a few other minimal little tasks. It checks new members, it maintains a list of members, it provides that discovery service, that WAIF that's so debated. Agrees the technical standards, provides policy control, and very importantly, provides support and advice for people joining. In the UK, our policy documentation is currently out for consultation with institutions and service providers, and we're welcoming comments from all over the world on that, so international partners are also commenting on our policies. Many of you will be aware that federated access management is being considered in lots of places. It's obviously being driven well by Internet 2 in this country and by In Common, and there are federations popping up all over Europe. There's some excellent work going on out there. We do have some very specific and unique issues in the UK when it comes to our federation. We have an access management system within the UK. We have a system called ATHENS. It's currently run by EduServe for us. We've made the decision to move away from that technology-centric approach to one that's more based on standards that can support several different technologies, but we need to maintain our users that are currently using that service. So we've designed something called the Federation Gateways. They're being built and run for us by EduServe, and they will essentially allow a shibboleth institution to access ATHENS-protected resources and an ATHENS-protected institution to access shibboleth-protected resources. That requires an intensive outreach programme to help institutions understand what on earth's happening. The size is quite interesting. We have 641 higher and further education institutions that are represented by JISC. JISC has also joined forces with an institution called BECTA, which does the same job as us, but for schools in the UK. That's nearly 30,000 schools. They're going to be served through virtual regional identity providers, though, so the actual number of identity providers is slightly less, but an awful lot of institutions are being affected by this decision. We've also got some concerns about joining up with other initiatives in the UK. We have a certificate authority which provides PKI certificates for access to e-research services. That's called the National Grid Service. We have people getting authentication through the Janet Roaming Service, which is the UK version of the EduRoam service. Our NHS, our National Health Service, uses a different system again, and there's lots and lots of government initiatives that we're looking to join up with. So we have a very, very complex environment that we're trying to navigate our way through. This is pretty much what our development landscape looks like at the moment. We have identity providers and service providers coming on board, as John and Ross have demonstrated, and they can choose to access the Federation directly. We also have people accessing the Federation through something called the ATHENS Gateways, as I've discussed earlier. We're doing a very similar thing with our certificate authority. We're providing a bridge so that people can actually use shibboleth access to get short-term certificates to get through to PKI-protected resources on the National Grid Service. And again, we've provided a gateway, a bridge from EduRoam, so you can use your EduRoam credentials to get through to the Federation as well. In the middle box, we have, of course, our federation, but most importantly, we have outreach and support programmes. That's where most of our effort's going. In some ways, the technology is so easy. It's all the outreach and assisted take-up that's so difficult. As I mentioned earlier, we've been doing an awful lot of development within the UK, and we're starting to see lots of our development tools, which are briefly listed, on the right-hand side there, moving across to become full-service tools within the Federation. I haven't got time to talk about those today. I could be talking for hours, but more information is available from the JISC website. In order to manage all of this, we've needed a coherent programme, and I'm currently managing the Access Management Transition Programme for the UK. We've recognised that it's going to take us a couple of years just to get to a point where we've transitioned the majority of our users, and we're aiming for July 2008 as the major switch-off of our current UK service. Our primary aim is to work from a working infrastructure, which we have. We have a pilot federation. It's working well within the UK. It's been working since March 2004. To a full production federation, one with a critical mass of users. That's a difficult thing to do. In order to achieve this, we're carrying on funding our current service. We're not just switching off one thing and throwing another thing out there and leaving everyone in perpetual confusion. We're providing technology support for them to do this. As I previously mentioned, we're funding the Federation gateways so that our Athens users can continue to access all of the resources that we want them to. We're, of course, funding the Federation, and in the UK we've made the choice to make the Federation free at the point of use for both service providers and identity providers. But the last three things are probably more important to me at the moment. That's our communications and outreach plan, the assisted take-up we're doing for our institutions, and national and international liaison. Support's really, really important. We're putting an awful lot of effort into it, and this just gives you a kind of quick overview of the support which we are offering institutions and service providers within the UK. Our first port of call is outreach, getting people involved, getting them understanding, getting to the point where they might want to actually adopt this technology. As soon as we've got them, we pass them across to assisted take-up. We're providing lots of training, toolkits, help desks, really holding people's hands as they try and adopt this technology. It's not easy. It involves lots and lots of complex procedures within your institutions and for service providers. And then once you put the service out there, of course, lots and lots of support in terms of health checks, FAQs, that kind of thing. What's really important in this space is that the community supports each other. We've had early adopter projects looking at this technology for some time, and both Ross and John's talks outline the work of some of those early adopters. We're making that information available out there, and those projects are supporting each other in making decisions about adoption. I wanted to briefly talk a bit about why we've chosen this route in particular. As I mentioned earlier, we went through a lot of research to get to this decision, and we're absolutely sure that it meets the defined criteria for access management within the UK, and that involved a single access management system for four different criteria. Access to internal applications, mostly through an SSO system, management of access to third-party, what we call digital library-type resources, some of those resources which Ross was talking about, inter-institutional use in terms of stable long-term resource sharing between defined groups. Lots of institutions in the UK are now collaborating, sharing courses, sharing resources. And federated access management is really important in helping those groups share information with each other in a coherent way so that students don't end up having to kind of join three different institutions but then not get the right access to information at those institutions. We're also exploring inter-institutional use in more ad hoc ways through dynamic work, the virtual organisations that happen within e-research. We're also very comfortable in what we're doing because the international take-up secures future of development and support across Europe, across the US. We're seeing it increasingly in Asia through the work in Australia and New Zealand. And it also provides economies of scale through work in partnership. We've gained so much from working with people like Internet2 and organisations like Tarina in Europe, and that's been a really, really valuable joining up experience for us. Why is this strategically important? Why would we want to do this? Well, it's a key deliverable within the current JISC strategy. It is one of the most important things which JISC is doing at the moment, and we're supporting it in that way. We want to be absolutely sure that our institutions understand that implementation of this new technology will require institutional effort, and we're encouraging them to recognise that within institutional IT strategies. That's not an easy thing. Getting your IT strategy changed to introduce new technologies, that's not easy. We're lucky within the UK because we're absolutely sure that this new technology helps institutions meet strategic requirements. As I'm sure you do, you have various different strategies coming down from government, from different sectors. And the ones I've mentioned here are the important ones within the UK. But we're backed People within the UK have backed us and saying this technology will help you meet the criteria of all these different policies which people have to work towards. As I've mentioned, it's national take-up. This is cross-educational, right through from schools right up to e-research. That's really, really important. And I don't think we could have gone forward with this if we hadn't had that full backing across the UK. And as I've mentioned, international take-up's important. One of the final things I want to say is we can't just say to institutions, right, go out there, start using this. We have to give them choices, and we have to make sure that they're fully supported in the choices that they make and that they make the right choice for their institution. We're broadly giving them three choices. We're saying to them, okay, we're providing this technology out there. Go ahead, become a full member of this federation using community-supported tools, using the open-source tools that are out there, like Shibboleth, like Grouper, like Cygnet, like lots of those open-source tools which are available. And there are costs and benefits associated with that, which I've detailed there, but I won't go into. We're also saying to them, you don't have to go it alone. You know, you can adopt this technology, but use paid-for support. And we're starting to see companies emerging who are willing to pay, willing to provide services where you can buy support for your institution in adopting these technologies. And finally, we say, okay, you can't manage it as an institution. That's absolutely fine. Subscribe to what we're calling an outsourced identity provider, such as the Athens Gateways that we've mentioned, and that will still work with you. But you're going to get a limited set of benefits in terms of it's only giving you access to the third-party resources which are currently protected by Athens. So those are the choices we're giving to our institutions. There isn't a choice to do nothing. All of our institutions have to do something. They have to make a decision. And that's a message we're making very, very clear to them. There's a big impact, of course. This is having a huge impact in the UK. It means change. JISC support for Athens will not be available after July 2008. Institutions will have to pay subscriptions for Athens sources if they go down that route. It requires institutional effort. You have to do something, as I keep on mentioning. There is a choice of technology. The Federated Access Management System is not dictating any type of technology, although, of course, there's a limited type that we're actually supporting, and that moves us away from technological reliance. On the plus side, it does bring about join-up across domain. Phenomenally in the UK, it's bringing up join-up across e-learning, across e-research, and what we call the information environment, our library services. That's taken a long time. That's been a long time coming to have an initiative that really works across all of these different areas. We're very proud of that. And we believe it really will bring about improvements. I say real single sign-on there. I think we'll say simplified sign-on just to be a little bit more cautious. We're seeing improved directory systems and the foundation blocks for secure collaboration, which is really important to us. That's my contact name. The information's all there if you want to find more about our projects and initiatives. They're up there. All of this is online, of course, but these are some of the questions that John and Ross raised during their presentation, which you might want to revisit. And I believe we do have time for some questions and discussion.